Beloved, afternoon to everyone again on a beautiful Sabbath day. A little humid today, but we can weather that storm. Now, the last 2 weeks we have gone through what is the fear of God. Just what is the fear of God? We went through there and showed that that fear of God came automatically with God's Spirit. That is what God's Spirit is. When you have God's Spirit, you do have the fear of God. Because as you've noticed, when the Spirit of God is with you, you begin to have obedience. And that is the fear of God. You start to keep the Sabbath. You start keeping the holy days. And every new thing that you learn, you begin to keep. And last Sabbath, we went into faith. How do I have faith? If I have the fear of God, well, I know that I have to have faith. And so we went through faith, and we showed how faith was and is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not your fruit. It's not my fruit. It's God's fruit. That's what He produces in His first fruits, along with all the rest there in Galatians 5, I think it's verse 22, where it begins to tell you all the fruits of God's Spirit. Now, depending on what era you're in and what God wants to accomplish within your life, those different fruits are magnified at different times to accomplish God's purpose. And we learn that faith isn't something that you work up or that you have. Faith is a gift and a fruit of God. And so once we realize, of course, what faith is and that you have that, I think the last scripture that we read was faith without works is dead. Whoa. We may have another problem here. If I don't have works, you mean faith is dead? And we just know that, we just found out that God gives us all faith. So I'd like to ask a couple of questions starting off. Can you have works? I should give you the title first for anyone who wants a title is, How Do I Have Works? The title is, How Do I Have Works? And then I have to ask you the question, Can you have works? Can you have works? Should you have works? Is there something you should be doing so that you should have works? And what kind of works should you have? You know, what are works? And what should you have if you're supposed to have them? Can you take any glory for your works? Are these works, again, as we've thought in the past, things that you can muster up, things that you can do, things that you can get all excited about and then go out and perform and do something? If you have works, who's doing them? These are all the questions, if we're going to talk about works. Will God ever be impressed by your works? You know, think back on your life. Have you ever done any works that would be impressive to Him? Well, I've kept the Sabbath. I've kept the holy days. I've tithed. I've done this and I've done that. Remember that little scripture that, you know, Christ told us about that? You know, those are the things expected of you. You're supposed to do way above those things. You know, the Pharisees do those things. Well, you and I both know, if you're honest before God, that you haven't gone above and beyond, have you? Have you? The answer is no. In 100% of the cases, you haven't gone over and above when it pertains to God's eyes. As we have seen, God gives the fear of God and faith. Does He also then give works? That's what we're going to look at today. And this is turning out to be a very good series. I hadn't planned on doing the series. I let God direct it. And learning myself more about the fear of God and faith by doing this. But we have to cover works, don't we? So let's go back to that scripture. Let's look at it a little bit. In James 2. James 2, verse 17. Here he says, that's another version of that. It says, even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. See, if you only have faith and no works, it's dead. Faith is dead. But that's what we're going to go through today. Verse 18. Yea, a man may say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. It's very important. I will show you my faith by my works. Now, is it his works? Is he doing it? No. Let's keep on going. Verse 19. You believe that there is one God, and you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. But will you know, O vain man? Now he's talking to you. He says, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Seems to be a theme running there, isn't it? And last time we ended faith by talking about Abraham a little bit, and we're going to be going back to Abraham with a little different view now. So carrying on in verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? It says, see thou how faith made with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. So there's an element here. If there's faith, there is works. If there's works, there is faith. Now we know that faith comes by the Spirit of God. So I think you're getting the picture already. Works have to come by the Spirit of God. They're not your works. Verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which said Abraham believed God. Now how do you believe in anything? How do you believe in God? By the Spirit. And it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. I can assure you that the friend of God, as we saw in Abraham's life, and later in Christ's life and the apostles' life, they all kept God's commandments. If you're a friend of God, you have to love God, and that's a fruit of the Spirit. And if you have love, that's a fruit of the Spirit. And if you have love, then you keep the commandments, as we read over and over the other week. And if you have faith, that also is a fruit of the Spirit. And it brings forth good works. That's what happens. Verse 24. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. You see, you can't say, oh, I believe in Jesus Christ. Once saved, always saved. I just believe on him and then go about your business. You have no works, do you? You have no fruit of that Spirit. And if you do that, then you have a problem. It doesn't work out too well. It's faith and works. Likewise, also Rahab, the harlot, was justified by the works. And she, we know, was inspired by God's Spirit when she did this, when she received these messengers. And you'd have to go back and read that story. Verse 26, for as the body without the Spirit is dead, you see, without God's Spirit within you, you're dead. You're just dead. So faith without works is dead also. Now, does somebody have the guts to come and talk to me about, oh, we just believe in God, oh, it's a free gift, which of course it is, but then that's it. Oh, the law, that dirty, rotten mind of God, we put that aside, because that's what the law is. That's the very life and being. It's the way that God thinks and conducts his life, and his children will forever. You know, people don't know the true plan of salvation. So when they look at the Ten Commandments, they don't really understand them. They don't realize that Sabbath day pictures the great last day. But most people don't even understand what the great last day is. They do here. They do with the church outreach program. And we'll be revealing our true church name at some later date. But for right now, it's a church outreach program. And we are reaching out to that church with God's truth. And for all of us who know God's true plan of salvation, the Sabbath day has taken on a full and complete new meaning. And it is an honor to keep the Sabbath. It's something to look forward to with joy. I'm so happy now because my salvation doesn't depend on whether I keep the Sabbath day, you know, without sinning, which we all do every week. But we keep it with joy, and it is absolutely commanded. And if you have the Spirit of God and you are a Philadelphian, you will be keeping it. So faith without works is dead. If you don't have the Spirit, no Spirit, you are dead to God. No Spirit, no fruits of the Spirit. The Spirit is in you. If that Spirit of God is within you, and you are a first fruit, you have the fear of God. And with that Spirit and fear of God in you, then you have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, self-control. Those are all the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5. When you have all these things in you, it brings forth good works. That is how you have good works. If you have faith, you have works. If you have works, you have faith. It's very simple. It's not your works. It's God's works. All the way through the Bible. You may have some examples in mind. You say, well, it looked like that person did it. Well, we're going to go back later to Abraham, the father of the faithful. And we're going to see again that it was God doing everything in his life. God already set the tone. God already gave him the promises before he asked him to do anything. And then he put his Spirit with him so that he would accomplish that. Well, let's look at you individually. Who are you? Who are you? If we're talking faith, if we're talking works, who are you? Let's go to Galatians 3. Galatians 3, starting in verse 26. For you are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. This is who you are. You think you can do something on your own? For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You are the first fruits. Christ is in you. The Father dwells with you. You have been begotten by that Holy Spirit. You are now the sons of God. You remember all those scriptures. Verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, nor bond nor free, nor male or female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. That's who you are. So the Spirit is in you, and you are heirs. And we know that Isaac was just a physical front runner of what Christ was going to be. And Christ is that seed. My eye falls on that in verse 16. Here in Galatians. Now to Abraham and his seed, singular, were the promises made. He said not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Christ is that seed, and he is that heir, and he has that promise, and he is in us. And now we are joint heirs with him as he dwells with us. We are those first fruits. Now who does the works? Who does the works? You? Are you encouraged to go out and do works, and then you go do them and you feel good about that? Well, of course, you should be encouraged to do good works. But who's going to do them if they are accomplished? Turn over to John 14. Let's zero in a little bit. John 14, verse 10. It says, believe you not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? He's talking to his disciples. He's saying, the Father is in me, and I am in the Father. We are one. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me. He does the works. What works do we talk about? Are they physical works or are they spiritual works? Well, you'll find out that they really are spiritual works that God accomplishes within you. Now, they are manifested at times, you know, physically. When he increases love and loving your neighbor, there will be actions with that. And those are good, and you see that. You see what's happening in the inner man by some of those outer works. But just because you don't see all kinds of outward works from somebody doesn't mean it's not happening with inside. Don't judge them. That's what God says. Do not judge them. They may be praying, you know, 10 hours a week, and you may be getting in your 15 minutes. Now, who has better works? You see. Don't judge an outward. As long as they are part of the body, you treat them as God's people. Always. Always. Can we make this happen of and by ourselves? Can we make it happen? By our own want or desire, can we ever impress God? Can you do that? We've been told in the past that we can. And that was under fear religion. You better go out there and do it, and if you don't, well, you may not get salvation. No, that's not the way it is. It was a satanic teaching, unfortunately. Let's turn over to Philippians 2. I never just sit here and tell you all of my thoughts. I always back them up with Scripture. Because my thoughts My ideas are no better than yours. And yours are rubbish, and so are mine. The only true and good ideas and thinking comes from God. That's what we want to know. That's what we want to follow. So, Philippians 2, verse 13. It says, "For it is God, which works in you, both to will," get that, "both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Oh, do you think you can change your mind? He even gives you the will to do. And if He's not giving you the will to live His way of life, you can't do it. It's impossible. Cannot do it. He gives you the will to do His good pleasure. Right here in Philippians, you can turn back here to Philippians 1, verse 6. "Being confident," remember we've been reading about confidence. What brings on confidence? The fear of God, the Spirit, faith. It all brings forth confidence. "Being confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Brethren, He started a good work in you. He called you. He brought you to Himself. It says that He draws you. Look up the word. It's drag. He drags you to Him. He opens your mind with His Spirit. He gives you His Spirit. He dwells with you. It says, He which has begun a good work in you, that is God beginning a good work in you, will perform or finish it. There's no question here. He will do it. And He does do it. Ephesians 2:10. Staying in this part of the Bible here for right now. Ephesians 2, verse 10. He says, "For we are His workmanship." Did you get that? See, we're His workmanship. You don't do the works. You don't create something. You don't build something here. He builds it. "For we are His workmanship, created in Jesus Christ unto good works." You want to have some works? You want to have good works? This is the only way it comes. "Which God hath before ordained and prepared that we should walk in them." And this is all of His laws, all of His statutes and judgments. His thinking, His way of life. We have to get that out of our heads, that this old covenant with Israel, Ten Commandments, the sacrifices and all that, oh, those are all a big test. He wanted to see who was going to follow. No. That was His way of life. And when we read so many scriptures, if anyone has any questions, write in. Please write in for all the Holy Day tapes to get the plan of God. And if by some chance you have not gotten the album, it's a three-part album on The Light, which is the first thing you should have gotten, which gives you an overview of what the plan, the true plan of salvation really is. Please write in. It's the Church Outreach Program, P.O. Box 6111, Elgin, Elgin, Illinois, 60121. Write in and ask about that. And get some of this backup, because we never know who's going to get what tape on what given day. And so, please write in and get the background. Because we have all the scriptures. We have the very truth. This is where God has revealed His true plan of salvation, not anywhere else. And all Philadelphian first fruits will end up here. You can't go anywhere else. There is no other place to go. Right now, the church is scattered. But they're having a lot of problems out there in those organizations. And people are beginning to realize that they really are spiritually starving. And God's Spirit will bring them. But He had to fulfill that as well. So there is hope, brethren. We are His workmanship. Coming back up here to verse 7, He talks about the great last day. Okay? This is the great last day. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. And He's going to do that to the entire world, everyone who has ever lived. For by grace you are saved through faith, that fruit of the Spirit. You're saved by that Spirit, isn't it? That's how it is. And are not of yourselves. So you're not of yourselves, and it didn't come from you. It comes from God. It is the gift of God. Only God has life eternal within Him. And He gave that to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has given it to every first fruit. Not by something you did. He didn't look down and say, well, there's a good bet. Why don't we bet on this person? No, God doesn't bet. He does always the sure thing because He's in control. Verse 9, not of works. See, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Talk about boasting. Think back on all the years in church that we've been in. How many times have you heard people boasting about how great they were doing and what they were doing? And now I can only imagine how pathetic and with vanity this is in these other organizations. Yes, Global, United, what's that other one? The Philadelphian Church of God Incorporated, man's organization, International, Dankenbrink, all the rest of them. Oh, how they boast on how they're doing the work. Oh, now they have all their little evangelistic campaigns going on. Now it's not just with headquarters. A lot of them don't even recognize the headquarters. They're all doing whatever is right in their own eyes. That's not the way God does things. And they're not accomplishing anything. In fact, they don't even have the plan of salvation. And we all know that. And they will know it soon. So it's not by works. And we can't boast. Do you think God would set up anything that you could boast? Absolutely not. God is the great creator God, and He gets 100% of the glory. Turn over to Romans 4. We've gone through this before. But in this context, He's talking about Abraham and what Abraham was doing. And in verse 2 of Romans 4, for if Abraham were justified by works, you know, then he can glory. But he can't glory before God. See, they knew the truth. For what says the Scripture? That Abraham believed God, and it was counted him for righteousness. See, he knows. If you believe God, it's by the Spirit. Paul knew what he was talking about. He didn't have to keep qualifying it over and over. So he says in verse 4, now to him that works is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. What he's saying here, if it's your works, then God owes you a debt. Then let's build some big, great monument to Abraham. I mean, we ought to almost worship Abraham, the father of the faithful. If he did it on his own, If he did all those things on his own, he was pretty good, wasn't he? And haven't you, and that's what you were told, though, that's what was preached, and haven't you been measured against Abraham all the years in the church? And I want to tell you something. None of you, including myself, ever stacked up to what Abraham did we? So how did we ever think we could ever get into God's kingdom? Well, we realized we couldn't. That's why everyone was so frustrated. You know, let's see it for what it really was. The only ones who were excited about church was the ministry, because they had this warped, satanic idea that they were more spiritual in the first place. That's why God ordained them. And of course, they had to be there, and they were going to get all the good positions too. And don't you know it? Well, all they ever were Mr. Armstrong's little helpers. God never ordained any one of them to do a work. He ordained Mr. Armstrong to do a work. He anointed him to do a work. And these men were just little helpers, little hirelings out in the field to help Mr. Armstrong do the work Mr. Armstrong was given. And we better put that in perspective. Now, as I say, if they are put in that position, you should have respect for that, and you should honor that, because they represented Mr. Armstrong in the field. But they were not gods, and they did not do God's work. They helped Mr. Armstrong do the work he was commissioned to do by God. We should get that straight. And when the church all broke apart, they did like every hireling will always do, just like God said. They fled. They saw the wolf. They ran. They all ran. And they tried to entreat the people after them so they could get their retirement funds going. And that is the truth, as hard as it may be to swallow. Okay, salvation does not come by debt. Because if it came by your works, then God would owe you salvation. And he doesn't owe you salvation. You would have earned it by your works. I'm trying to define this for you very well. That's not your works. If there's any works coming from you, it's through the Spirit, it's through the fear of God, it's through faith, and it's by the Spirit. And you are God's workmanship. That is how any fruit is produced, and that is works. And it has to come from God. God gets all the glory. All the glory for salvation. He gets all of it. It's a free gift. Your reward is eternal life by grace. How much better can this get, brethren? Can't get any better than this. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy. Not my words. Some of you in these other organizations are still trying to earn your salvation. Now, Mr. Armstrong taught that as well. The bottom line. But he didn't know any better, and that's okay. And frankly, these little organizations don't know any better either. I'm not coming down real hard on them. I'm just explaining it. But once this knowledge is out there, when they preach against it, when they preach opposite, God's Spirit will not be happy with them, and he will start to deal with them. You know, once the truth is known, then it's out there. Then change. If you don't, then you don't have God's Spirit, and he will take care of that. Okay, Second Timothy 1, Verse 9, it says, and he's talking about God doing this, and God, earlier he says, but God has not given us the spirit of fear, see, of terror. He gave you the fear of God, but not a fear, this terror, as we went into last week, or the other week, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And in verse 9, in this context, who has saved us? He saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Jesus Christ before the world began. You know, I could just close the book right here and be done with the sermon and that's it. Do I really have to keep going with it? Oh, no, there's a lot that still don't get this. Still want to hold on to your works. You don't have works. He saved us. He called us according to His thing, not our works. Before the world began, He did. You read the Scriptures. We have read the Scriptures. He predestined us, the first fruits. He knew exactly who you'd be. He wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. This is a great God and Father that we worship. All-knowing, all-seeing, all-working, loving God. And there was going to be 144,000 first fruits, and that's all. You know how many first fruits will stand with Jesus Christ and the Father as they come down in that great last day with that new city, Jerusalem? Yep. Read it. Revelation 14. 144,000 first fruits. Did God miss the mark on that or what? Huh? Right on. Always right in the bullseye. It's His game, it's His bow, it's His arrows, and it's His target. It's not yours. Romans 3. Romans 3, verse 20. You think your works can do something? You think by just keeping the Ten Commandments you're going to slip in there? I don't think so. Romans 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. So if you think you're going to make it by that way, you're not justified in His sight. You might be justified in your sight, but not His. In your vanity. Not his righteousness. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Verse 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? See, by what law of works? No. But by the law of faith. That is how you become justified. And only through God's works, God's good things, would you ever be justified, not by your own. Wherefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. It doesn't mean that you give up the law of God. That's His way. That's His life. Everything He is, He wrote in that law. It's all love. I was going to say name, but I'm learning. There was one person that we all know that said, the Ten Commandments is not a law of love. There's no love in the Ten Commandments. Excuse me, he was just quite ignorant, wasn't he? He was ignorant. Unaware, that means. It's not a bad term, just ignorant. But we're not ignorant now. We know that that law, the Ten Commandments, is 100% the law of love. Without it, God just doesn't exist. That is what He is. That is what all mankind forever will keep and love every moment of it. So we're not justified by our own works. All right, verse 31. This is all in the same context. This is exactly what the apostles are saying here. Do we then make void the law? Because we have this faith now? Because we have the Spirit? Do we make void the law because we have God's Spirit? What do they say? God forbid! Can you say that? You know, we don't even like to say the word God forbid, you know. They did. They knew. God forbid. Yes, we establish the law. We establish the law. By our very life, by the very works, the good works that come from the fruit of the Spirit. It's all the Ten Commandments and His law.